Welcome to Startup Cornell, a podcast exploring the bold entrepreneurial ideas coming from our students, faculty, staff, and alumni. I'm Kathy Havas, your host, and today we're talking with Peyton Johnson. She's a member of the class of 2024 and founder of a company that helps students find off-campus housing. Her company is part of this year's ELAB, Cornell Student Accelerator, powered by student agencies and entrepreneurship at Cornell. Peyton is also a Milstein Scholar at Cornell, so we'll talk a little bit about that, and is majoring in math with a concentration in computer science. To find out more about entrepreneurship at Cornell and see the show notes from this episode, visit bishop.cornell.edu. And remember to rate and review our podcast by scrolling to the bottom. We want to help more young entrepreneurs find the podcast and be inspired to follow their dreams. So welcome, Peyton. I'm so glad you could be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. So how about if you give us a 30-second elevator pitch about your company and how you came up with this idea?
Of course. I think at the core of this idea is securing college housing is difficult for both small landlords and the students. And I think both of us would much rather spend our times doing other things, whether that's studying or actually just managing a property. And so my company really seeks to bridge this gap by providing marketing for small landlords that appeal to its student renters, especially because it's such a niche and segmented market.
That's awesome. And this seems like an issue that's been an issue forever and ever with students across all campuses. And it's beyond Cornell. Is this something that you think there are just in almost every college town, there's a need for this kind of an idea?
In every college town. So I've spoken with students from UCLA to Brandeis to all the way at Florida State University. And you would think that there would be one idea that could work across all of these campuses. And yet every single student I talked to struggled in some capacity. And so that kind of really ignited this idea. Let's start it at Cornell. It was kind of founded out of my own housing problems where I signed a lease 3 days before my junior year started. And so it was just this process of what can I do to kind of fix this issue?
Very interesting. And you're dealing with, like, I don't know if this is true in every college town, but in Ithaca, there's these giant apartment buildings, and then there's these tiny little landlords who have like five or six houses or maybe only one house. So have there been challenges in terms of just like working with various different kinds of people and big corporate entities versus single landlords?
Yeah, there definitely has. Corporate landlords definitely run it like a business. And so there's definitely an edge to that. So my business does focus on small and local landlords. And so that we normally define as having under 30 units. And so working with those types of individuals has been really transformative for my project right now, given that they are the most willing to kind of change and try and move with the market, especially as these major corporations are buying up even more properties and building these huge, huge apartments, especially as we see on College Ave.
Right. So the smaller companies are probably more, and we're happy to work with you because they need the exposure and the marketing and things like that that you can help with.
Yeah. Small landlords are definitely like my primary target at the moment.
And are those generally more affordable, the smaller landlords' apartments versus the giant companies? Or is there, I mean, nothing is really affordable in Ithaca, but is there any difference between the two?
I mean, nothing's necessarily affordable in Ithaca. Just as you said, I have a database of over 4,000 units in Ithaca, including all of their rental information. Definitely not affordable. It is not the place you want to be if you're trying to find cheap housing. But small landlords are definitely more willing to either kind of like listen to their tenants and things like that. You do hear the occasional horror stories, but from what I've found talking to so many landlords is they really want to be there for you. They want to be able to support you in any way possible.
Very interesting. So of all the things that you could, with a math and CS background, of all the things that you could try to solve, how did you focus on this as something that you felt like your skills and your interests really should go toward?
I think the reason it rose to the forefront for me was mostly timing. So I signed my junior year lease 3 days before school started. And this was all while I was wrapping up a software engineering internship, and I was absolutely stressed. And I realized this isn't the situation students should be going through. I should be focusing on just getting back to campus, enjoying meeting up with friends and things there. And then I began to talk to other people, and I had a friend DM me the night before school started. And she said, I haven't gotten back to Ithaca yet, but I don't have a lease. Can I stay with you? And I essentially said, yes, of course. And she was trying to find a sublease because she was only here for one semester. And then the next day I had my Milstein class where it was, what is a problem in Ithaca that you think you can solve? And immediately the light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, I know I can help this problem. I've been there before. I know what worked for me. And I'd really love to see if this is a problem other students have. And then through that process, I started speaking with a ton of different undergrads. I talked to over 100 and then exploring out at other universities. And I mean, the same thing came up every single time. I can't find what is available. I don't know what's available. And then landlords are taking forever to respond. And so then it became, okay, now I need to start talking to landlords to get their perspective. And they too had a disconnect. We're struggling to find renters. We don't know who is actually interested in it. And we feel like we're being pulled in a million directions because we have to market in 170 different ways. And it really just became this process of like push and pull and speaking with a bunch of different people that I realized this is really what I wanted to do. And it's just been a really fun journey throughout that.
So talk a bit about how eLab has helped you move the company forward, or like when you actually started it versus when you joined eLab and what kind of progress you've made since that time.
Yeah. When I joined eLab, I think my company was very much in like an infant stage. And so I'd done a couple of interviews. I'd spent a year at the Milstein program kind of researching. And I had a map that was published online as early as April. And so it was just kind of this process of getting more and more rental data. And they kind of turned to me and said, now you have all this rental data. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to kind of like actually pursue something out of this? And the biggest question about a company is, how are you going to make money? Because right now you're operating as a nonprofit, essentially. Then it became a whole semester long project of trying to speak with people, understand what people are willing to pay money for, and really working with a lot of people local to Ithaca to see what their specific needs were. And that's kind of led me to my most recent initiative. A lot of landlords want to keep up with what students want. Contrary to how many students feel that they're outdated and they're old systems, landlords really want to be there for us. And so kind of as a part of my latest initiative, and very much thanks to my board, they had me reach out to a couple of landlords that they knew, and I started speaking to them and about kind of their marketing needs and their attainment and how they keep clients. And from that, I've started an initiative where I'm building websites for local landlords so that they're phone compatible specifically, just so that students are able to access this information in the ways that we do, which is via our phones. Nice. Probably a little surprising there. And then it was like through this that I've started generating a little bit of revenue and also trying to expand more of my efforts out to other colleges like Syracuse and Binghamton.
Oh, that's great. So there are some of the landlords who are smaller, don't even have a mobile compatible website at this point.
Yes, yeah. There are small landlords who don't have a mobile compatible website. And then the big thing is they don't really know what to do in terms of marketing. You'll hear like the biggest issue landlords have is they feel like they're pulled in every single direction. And so specifically the landlords I spoke to, they're using up to like 10 different applications, like Rent College Pads, Zillow, Apartments.com. And they're like, we're not getting the same like eyes on our advertisements that we used to. And so they feel like they're struggling to kind of keep up. And so I'm trying to kind of overhaul their marketing a bit there and do that for them. And so right now I'm onboarding my first 8 units to be able to just market those for them so that I truly get the experience of being a landlord, as well as kind of being able to use that information to better my product.
That's great. So you have several different initiatives as part of the bigger product.
Yeah. So it's kind of I'm spreading my eggs out in many baskets and a lot of them are sticking. And so I'm really using this to be informative to better solve this problem.
So after you graduate, do you have some people who might continue to do this, or what will happen when you are off on your next adventure?
So one of the contracts I have signed, I will be legally obligated to continue it. But beyond that, I'm very, very excited to continue it. I mean, the landlords that I've met through this process have been absolutely incredible. And so this is something I do want to continue. I know it's branching out more into like a type of marketing firm, which is something I didn't necessarily see when I started this. But I think kind of seeing the impact I can have and understanding this whole really small and niche market has been really incredible.
Right. That's great. So Are there things that surprised you about being an entrepreneur, or some things about yourself that you think make sense that you would have this idea to come up with a company of your own and start it up? Why do you think that you pursued entrepreneurship in this point in your life?
I think I've always been like really, really interested in entrepreneurship. I really want to say my entrepreneurial spirit started when I was 14. It's always been a calling to me. I held my first job when I was 14 as a lifeguard and swim instructor, and then started my own mini business as a tutor the same year. And so it's always been a huge passion of mine to kind of be able to provide, or like be in a market and provide something there. It was kind of through these different initiatives that I really started down this entrepreneurship path. And then when I had my junior project in the Milstein program, I began looking at different needs that college students have. The main project was to find something in your community that you could kind of correct. And it was from that that I started thinking, okay, this is something I definitely can do. It's a good idea. There's interest. I had a website and I could see how many times people were tapping on it. And I had no SEO or search engine optimization out there. I had a couple hundred views like every week. And I was like, okay, I think I found something here. It was just beginning to think, okay, well, now how do I monetize this? How do I make this a true possibility for me to pursue?
So without any kind of advertising at all, you were getting a couple hundred hits a week, just people finding it.
Yeah, there were probably a ton of keywords in there. Housing Cornell and like apartments Cornell, apartments Ithaca definitely got a lot of people. I was doing a bunch of my customer discovery interviews. I always ask people, how did you find your house? And they were like, the first thing I did is look up apartments Ithaca. I, as someone who was so deep in the weeds on this issue, didn't even think of that. And so when I was like making my website, I think Apartments Ithaca is probably listed more than once, so that it's really tagged to that website.
That's great. That's good that you have that, you know, knowledge of SEO. I mean, a lot of people have some knowledge, but you have a lot more knowledge. So that's really helpful. Yeah. That's great. So other than the Milstein program and eLab, can you talk about any other experiences at Cornell that have helped you as a just a person or as a company founder? Or what other things have you really been involved with?
I think something that was really, really big in my undergrad years was my sorority. So I was president my sophomore year, which is a little bit unheard of. But kind of taking on that amount of responsibility, especially during the pandemic, was just crazy. I mean, I'm balancing classes as well as reviewing financial statements for essentially a really large club that hosts 120 people, working with all of the Cornell bureaucracy in regards to how Panhell is run, getting everything approved. I think it was like very instrumental. It pushed me a little bit more to the business side because I began realizing, whether we like it or not, almost everything you do contributes to a business in some regards. Right. And so it just began this like thought process of like, okay, if I can run a sorority where you have 120 different opinions, I can definitely run my own company.
Right. So how did you become president as a sophomore? Isn't that something usually a junior or senior would do?
It definitely is. I always wanted to be involved in any organization that I'm in. You can ask like any club I'm in, I would probably held a position there. And I remember I ran for vice president as a sophomore, which is pretty typical. And our president-to-be actually essentially graduated super early. And so over the summer, I got a call from Nationals and they were like, if you are interested, you are more than welcome to take the position. And I was like, well, what happens if I'm not interested? There's nobody to fill it. So I'm going to have to take it anyways. Just began working a plan out with them, especially because sophomores are the youngest people in your class for about a semester. And so I was going to have to gain the respect of both the juniors and the seniors. And so I was just working with Marissa on our Nationals team just to try and get that ball rolling.
But eventually you were able to do that pretty well. So you must be a good leader in very many ways.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was a lot, but I definitely loved my time there. I mean, being able to be calm and like a bunch of different emergencies that you would never think you would have to face definitely teaches you a lot.
So talk a little bit about the Milstein program and then also about your major. I'd love to know, like, did you know coming in you wanted to major in math and CS? And how did you choose to be part of the Milstein program? Were you that from the get-go or did you apply as a freshman? And what about that program has been interesting to you?
I applied to Milstein as a senior in high school. It was something I was very, very interested in from the get-go. I actually heard about it from one of my best friends in high school who had applied the year beforehand. And that was when I was like, junior year, you start thinking about college, you start thinking about your future. And I can say I was obsessed. I was like on the website, I was like, this is exactly what I want to do. I have a very STEM focused brain, but I absolutely love the humanities. And so the Milstein program is in technology and the humanities. And I thought this is going to be the ideal way for me to kind of get a taste of everything I want. I had absolutely no clue what I was going to be like studying or anything in college. I believe I applied as a like Spanish and econ major. And then when I stepped foot on campus, I for some reason was like, I'm taking all fashion courses my freshman year.
Oh, very cool.
My very poor academic advisor, she was like, no, you need to take one math and one CS. That's what you did in high school. I'm pretty sure you're going to like it. She was certainly right. And so it's just kind of wanting to do the Milstein program to get just a taste of everything that Cornell had to offer. We bring in really incredible professors each semester that talk about their specific discipline. So last semester, we had Andrew Moisey, who is a professor, I want to say in the history department, but I took his class on the history of photography. Ended up being one of my favorite courses that I've ever taken. It's like those one-off experiences where you get to meet these professors, actually talk to them, see their passion for the subject that makes you really excited to take their classes. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially why I applied. And everything definitely came true in that respect.
That's great. And then part of that is, were you part of the group that would spend a summer in New York City too? Or was that during the pandemic and you didn't get to do that?
That was during the pandemic and I could have gone. But unfortunately, I was a software engineer over at Bank of America during that time. And so I didn't attend that. But I have been to Roosevelt Island 2 times since to meet with our advisory boards and things there.
Right. Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about you as a person and what you think are some of the habits and like tools and things you use that have been helpful to you, balancing all these various things in your life. So can you talk about some of the ways you manage your life? Like, are there some pieces of software or some, you know, do you write things down? How do you keep track of everything that's going on? And what are some habits that you have found really helpful in your life?
I'm going to sound like a grandma here. So I just want to say I acknowledge that first. I have a very classic Rolodex of everyone that I meet. Normally, just name, number, and I normally don't keep it on my phone because I am not reliable when it comes to contacts. And I know this isn't necessarily a piece of software, but that's been really, really helpful for me because whenever you're going into a meeting, I know somebody that is in my Rolodex is going to be there. I'm able to just kind of flip through, remind myself of some things about them and kind of go off that way. I think it's really helpful in terms of networking and keeping those connections fresh, things there.
And it's actually a physical Rolodex with little cards in it.
It is a physical Rolodex.
That's awesome.
Once again, I'm like an old technology person, despite being a CS major. I also have like a dictaphone, essentially. So when I'm interviewing people, I have my dictaphone out and I can record everything. It sounds very ancient. Like most people my age are not going to know what that is. I've always found it very, very useful.
Right. And I think there are some benefits of having multiple information in multiple places too, because, you know, something might happen to your phone, something might happen to the files in some cloud. You never know.
My biggest concern is that when you mix personal and like professional life too much, I don't want to feel like I'm going to get burnt out. And so that's always been one of the ways where I'm able to kind of like separate it. It's in a very distinct place. And I think that's huge for my generation, especially because we're on technology so much. You have to draw that line somewhere, and that's where I've drawn it.
So is there some advice that you've been given or that you've found really, really helpful that you might want to pass on to other entrepreneurs? And then again, is there some advice that you've gotten that you're happy that you didn't take, either during the time you were founding your company or earlier?
The best piece of advice I've ever been given is that the worst someone can say is no. I think it's really strange to say because, right, nobody likes rejection, but a couple years ago, my mom was like, a no is not the end of the world. It's just directing you in a different path. And so it's strange to say, but when I get a no now, it's kind of like a little exciting challenge. Like, how am I going to turn this into a yes? And if it's not going to ever be a yes, how can I switch paths to get somewhere I want? And so this has been something that has been like really indicative of like who I am as a person. If you ask the Milstein program, I run our pre-professionalization program for kind of the sophomores and the juniors applying to internships. I went crazy my sophomore year. I applied to like 136. I got one internship. I was so excited. And I got a lot of rejection in that year. And I think learning to take rejection well and still building networks and connections like out of that is really, really important. I think in one of my interviews, I essentially got told they were at capacity for interns, but they absolutely loved speaking with me. And he has become one of my best mentors. And so despite getting that no, I still followed up with, I would still like to keep like within your network and within your circle. And then that eventually helped in the long term when I was looking for full-time jobs.
Right. That's really good advice. That's really good advice. So did the Milstein program have a pre-professional program before, or did you kind of help to like boost it or expand it or develop it?
I started it at the Milstein program. And so something that I've always been passionate about is kind of networking. If you ask anyone, it's like one of my favorite things to do. And so it was just passing that information off because I know the stress that I went through as a sophomore. Nobody needs to apply to 136 internships. Uncalled for actions by sophomore Peyton. Right. But then kind of reassessing, okay, in my junior year, what am I going to do different to get an internship again that I really like? Or am I going to return to the company that I was already at? And so it was just kind of reflecting on that. And then it's like, okay, I should share this with people because it's obviously been effective for me.
Right. That's great. That's great. So are there stories of students at Milstein that you've helped to find internships without having them apply for 136? Like, have you had students that you've already helped?
Well, I have around 10 mentees, both in the Milstein program and outside. I will pass by that I can use her name, but her name's Catherine, and she's going to be going and working at Bloomberg this summer. Absolutely incredible student, but even down to things like, hey, I'm going abroad and I want to know how I add my time abroad on my resume because I wasn't at Cornell for all 8 semesters. And so it's even those like small things of like just adjusting somebody's resume. How do you make yourself sound more professional if you feel like the things you were doing weren't even that professional? It's a really strange kind of dichotomy that you have to deal with because even if you are in the club and you are just managing food orders for Friday dinner, that is still something that you did and something that you can add to the resume if you are kind of struggling to figure out how to format everything.
Right. You know, help people turn their experiences into like something that people would want to look at on a resume and feel like that's a benefit. So that's great. I'm sure you don't have much time to read or to, other than what you have to do for class and writing programs and things like that. But are there books that you would recommend to people, either related to business or otherwise, that you feel are really important and have been important to you?
I'm sure most people are going to give like self-help and entrepreneurial books here. I honestly do not have the time to read those. I get a lot of that information from podcasts and things there. In terms of reading, if I'm going to read, it's going to be for enjoyment. I'm looking up because I have my like little library up here. I'm going to grab it because I clearly have a very specific taste in books, and it is Neil Gaiman.
Oh, there you go.
I've read almost every single one of his. I particularly like this series where they did the same kind of covers for all of them. I'm halfway through American Gods right now, but I do just really appreciate how he kind of explores like America through like fantasy and modern mythology. I'm somebody that when I am going to be reading, it's going to be for pleasure, and so fantasy is my go-to category there.
Very cool. That's great. Because I think you're right that sometimes you can overload on all of that information that's, you know, about your business or about other people doing business. And it's nice to just have something else, an outlet. Tell us how, I know that you're retooling a few things, but tell us how people can find out more about your company or get involved, especially for students, maybe.
Yeah. I am looking for some interns right now. We're onboarding one currently. And so if they really want to find me, they can reach out in regards to internships at my email, pjj44@cornell.edu. And otherwise, you can find more information on our current website, which is mapctown.com. That also has a couple of different ways for you to contact me as well. We are going through rebranding right now, so that may change in just a month or two, but I'll definitely be sure to email in with any updates if that changes.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Peyton, so much for joining us. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time.
To find out more about entrepreneurship at Cornell and see the show notes from this episode, visit eship.cornell.edu. Special thanks to Abigail Younger, my editor extraordinaire.